Hey, Chris, what is Ryze's favorite type of beer?
Don't know.
Stout.
Hey, Cal, did you run into Ryze when you visited Colorado last week?
No, why would I have?
Oh, I heard that she moved there recently.
Why did she do that?
She just wanted to be somewhere where her pot was legal.
Sam, is Ryze doing well in school?
Of course. She bombed her last exam.
Wait, doesn't that mean she failed?
Nah, the bomb was rank A.
Oh, rank A, then.
There we go.
Hey, Sam, do you want to hear my atelier joke?
Sure.
It's sure to get a rise out of you.
Okay, just say it.
But I already did.
And that's the end of the jokes, dear listeners. We hope these funnies have been the thylight of your day.
Oh.
So no one said all games were gonna be this way. Backlog's a joke, a choke, gamer cards at my head. It's like you always play 2 years behind. When you really need a boost to heart, to health, or even your mind. No, Cal will be there for you.
She'll say games that are so.
Matt will be there for you.
When you're feeling that you're stuck.
We'll be there for you.
Hello and welcome to RPG Backtrack, your regular deep dive into your favorite RPGs. We are a production of RPGamer.com, bringing you such fine podcasts like RPG Cast, your weekly RPG news show, Q&A Quest, your weekly RPG feedback show, and us, your bi-weekly RPG nostalgia show. I am your host, Kelly Ryan, and with me, as always, the Impel to my Liza, or sorry, Lila. I don't know why I got Ryze. Oh, yeah, that's why. My podcast partner in crime, Mr. Matt Mason.
Hey, you know what? Luckily, I alchemized myself a prosthetic arm so I could type all those wonderful jokes you all just listened to. So
thank
I'm here.
You.
Ready to participate, Chris.
I didn't have... I'm a conscientious objector to my joke. I refuse.
That voice you heard was my brother from another podcast, Chris Privateer.
I don't like what we've done to people. Bring back the skits. These jokes are criminal.
That giggle you heard was Miss Sam Walker. I'm sorry, Mrs. Sam Walker. I forgot you're married.
You broke Chris.
When has she not been married? Where have you been?
I was trying to be funny and failed.
It's okay.
And lastly, we have Brian.
All right, hug it out.
Air hug.
Air hug. And since it is almost the end of Atelier month, we are talking Atelier Ryze. I'm sorry, Atelier Thunder Thyza.
Yeah.
She got some thighs.
Girl, she thick. With two
what
cents.
Is she, Chun-Li now?
Can you fry an egg on those thighs, though?
No, that's Chun-Li thick with three C's.
Or, you know, the Amazon from Dragon's Crown?
Is that Ryze 3? Do we need to get to Ryze 3? I hear she grows a little bit every time.
Wait, why are we frying an egg? How is frying an egg on thighs work? Because they're so hot.
I don't understand that one either, Chris. I just let it go.
Okay, quick aside. If you look at the Amazon in Dragon's Crown, her thighs have a flat top.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, doesn't her butt have, like, shelves out the back of it?
You
put books on there. It doesn't make any sense.
The Dragon's Crown Amazon has a badonkadonk.
Badonkadonk with thithathonkathonk. Look, we're talking about big titties, big thighs, Japan's version
must
of
be Atelier.
So, yeah. Good times with the Atelier series.
They walked that back a little bit with the witch from the Unicorn Overlord, because I'm playing that right now. I mean, she's still chesty, but not nearly as chesty as she was in Dragon's Crown. But I digress. But we're not talking boobs yet. We're talking thunder thighs. Ryze. Atelier Ryze.
Are we supposed to be excited about this game? Because I'm not hearing a lot of excitement.
Oh, no, no. We'll get there.
We'll get there. Excited.
Go Packers.
After rereading Sam's review, I am more excited than Sam, I believe.
Plus, I like the first game.
Plus, we're just talking the thirst game, or first game.
The thirst game. Yep. You got it right.
That was a Freudian.
Yep.
Because I've heard that the sequels aren't as good.
The second game sucks balls.
I got partway through it, and I've just lost interest. It has little, you get a little flying pet thing.
I hate the pet thing, and I want it to burn.
Oh, well, all right.
Isn't it a...
I don't know.
The spoiler what the pet thing is, isn't it?
Oh yeah, that's definitely a spoiler. Yeah.
Well, game is now.
I thought it was in the. It's not the one in the name.
I mean, it is, but like also your whatever the story is. I don't know. But we're not talking
it's
about
not
that
a secret
one.
Fairy.
And then the third one, I guess, is okay, but I haven't gotten
like
the second
one.
So
third one's good.
Yeah, Michael Baker has mentioned the third one like really good. He was super excited that the. Open world, well, not the open world, but when the world opens up, it's like 10 times bigger than
oh,
the other
good.
Games.
It's like Final Fantasy 13. Once you get to chapter 10, I mean, it opens up.
There is no batching of Final Fantasy 13 on our show, Chris.
No, there isn't.
I stand that game.
My bashing is of the people who make assertions that the grandpa section is somehow substantive and meaningful.
You literally just go back to being linear. It literally just goes back to being linear.
Yep.
That's not what we're talking about.
And I mean, well, we're not talking about that.
That I'm saying that's a bad thing, but that's another podcast.
You're talking thighs and tits, my friends.
This is your
person,
show.
So.
Thighs and tits.
This is the one for you, Sam.
Yes.
This is your show.
Except, you know, for the part where, like, nobody in this game makes me horny, so...
Thank God no one in this game makes me horny.
Aren't they all underaged?
Well, there's that! One of them's from another dimension, Chris!
Oh, spoilers.
Yeah, she's, like, hundreds of years old.
Exactly! Technically, I could do her and it'd be okay.
Yeah. All right.
But I don't wanna.
Lila looks adult.
She's actually 1,000 years old. She just resembles a human child. That way, it's okay to be attracted to.
Oh, no, she doesn't look young. Lila doesn't look young.
I'm just
Look, Lila's the person that you cuddle with, and then she kills you through suffocation because her boobs are so big.
Listen, I don't care about Lila's boobs. That's just anime boob size. What's up with her hair? Is her hair fleshy? I don't understand it.
Oh, gosh, I don't think I've noticed that.
I'm pretty sure that's pretty much a feature of the race she's from part of. Yeah.
And like she's got hair ears or something. Like she's got floppy ears that are also hair.
But also,
confusing.
What is it with Anabu and that weird crosshair pattern? It makes no sense to me.
It never does.
The bangs that cross.
Oh. Yeah, I just noticed she's got Colgate kunais.
Yeah, she does.
She should be in a Fire Emblem game.
With Colgate, John?
Yep.
I think we're talking about that game at some point this year or next year. I can't remember.
But yeah.
I've got to put my reading glasses on to see those eyes in the real game. I haven't noticed that yet. But hearing all the art, yeah.
Yeah, no, I pulled up a picture because I was trying to see the hair ears, and I guess you're talking about her pigtails.
Yeah, she's got little ear hairs.
Yeah, I guess they could be like long rabbit ears of some kind.
It's pretty cute. Also weird.
I'll tell you what, we can Google Lila while we have a brief musical interlude, and then when we come back, we will just dive in because you guys sound excited. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
welcome back to RPG Backtrack, where we are talking about Atelier Ryza, released in Japan on September 26, 2019, and then in North America about a month later on October 29th, and then 2 days later, the rest of the world on November 1st. I'm sorry, about, that'd be what, 3-4 days later? Yeah, something like that.
Oh, yeah,
On Switch and PS4, and I think it came to Steam a little bit later. I just copied the first couple of release dates, but according to Wikipedia, this is the best-selling game in the series at 500,000 copies.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the sub-series has sold like 2 million total.
That sounds familiar.
I just thought that was kind of interesting because, yeah, in my mind, I considered this one kind of a soft reboot of the series, because, you know, completely brand new girl and setting, obviously. But then when they started releasing sequels, it just kind of felt, and I can't remember if it was before they was doing direct sequels to like Sophie 2 and stuff.
This is the first character to have multiple games about them, Sophie being the next one, and Ryza is a great protagonist to have a whole series about, just because you start with the first game and you get to the last one and you see all of this constant growth, not just in her physical appearance, but like in her actual character and personality. Mm-hmm. Like Ryza sparkles. She's got a very fun personality, and, you know, she dreams of adventure just like every other Atelier like heroine. And she's fun to follow. Because the way that she makes mistakes is just, you're just like, oh, I'll boo. Like, it's okay. We'll figure it out. I'm all fin.
The way she gets along with her mom, it's like, Mom, I don't want to be a farmer. I just want to be an alchemist.
I just want to go on adventures and, you know, bang my drum all day.
I'm going to build my own house in the middle of the woods and move away from you for no reason other than to build my own house in the middle of the woods.
And practice alchemy, which you guys don't want me doing.
Is that a plot point? Because by the end of it, they don't care. I don't
know. It's pretty much that. They start out with, we want you to be a farmer. And then they're like,
yeah,
whatever. You're good at this. It's fine.
They're just happy she's doing something, I thought.
Yeah, because she's not being lazy.
Lazy. So the lazy kid who has a perfect body.
Yeah.
Well, there's that whole part where they're suspicious, where the town's like suspicious of Empel.
Yeah.
They're kind of xenophobic about alchemy in general.
Well, they also live on a tiny island. Doesn't sound familiar at all.
Mm. But the other two things that
thought was
interesting.
Wait, do they practice alchemy in Japan?
Oh, no.
Is that what you're saying?
No, I was talking about xenophobia, Chris. Good old island xenophobia.
Well, that's not as fun.
That's an interesting rate. Turns out it's an allegory for how Japan still can't get over xenophobia. I don't know.
But the other two things I found interesting, which is why the game kind of came off as a soft reboot for the series to me, was because they did a completely new engine for this, and they completely revamped the alchemy system.
It's such a fun alchemy system.
Oh, I love it.
Yes. Yes, it's good.
It's got so much experimentation with it. Like, you can really make some fun crap that breaks the game.
Yeah.
And just, no, I was really happy when I played this, just how flexible and fun the alchemy system was. Especially coming from when we just talked last week about the Arlen games, which are stiffer in a lot of ways. They're also older, you know? And then you talk about games like Sophie, where it was more about, here's Alchemy Tetris. Which is addictive too, but I think Ryza kind of sets the standard of what the alchemy system should be at this point.
I just kept making things in Ryza, and I wanted to do it all. I wanted to make everything.
I definitely took I took every opportunity.
So far I had
wherever you had one of those. Hey, wait 3 days until the story moves forward, just as an excuse to do more alchemy.
And then it'd be 20 days later, whoops, I should have moved the story along, and I didn't.
And there's no time limit, so who cares? Yeah,
exactly.
There's no calendar even, is there?
Nope.
Like, the alchemy had a progression, and you could feel yourself getting stronger and unlocking things that were useful, and all that's gone in the sequel.
Oh, what? Really?
Oh my god. The sequel.
Come back next year in April and talk about that
differently, and it's not good.
That's the thing I really liked about this game. Like,
that's why I couldn't get into the second one. Is like I couldn't get addicted to just leveling up and becoming overpowered through alchemy. And it's like that was why this first one was so good. It's like, oh, I'm unlocking items they don't expect me to have now. I'm a master of the arcane arts. Ah,
also now I'm back to sucking again.
And the thing is, like, part of the whole point, the leveling alchemy stuff works is because it works so well with Ryza like becoming good at it narratively.
That's right. You have, again, it's her progression. And I mean, folks, you want to read me bashing Ryza 2? There's a review. Michael Baker tries to be kind to it. I was not. 3 out of 5.
Chris, you know, even though you can, there's a lot of flexibility with the alchemy system, they still kind of lock you to stuff because they don't let you go to certain areas unless you progress the story.
Yeah, but that's how I knew I was ready to go somewhere else. Yep. I was nothing else I could make.
There was nothing else to make, yeah. Something got unlocked soon, yeah.
It's one of those things that it drives me crazy when I want to run around and explore and games are like, no, you can't go into this area yet. And there's no like natural barrier or anything that's preventing me. The entrance is there and I just can't go. And this game was horrible about that because of that first area that has so many spots that I can see but can never go to.
Don't worry, Kelly. They fixed that in Ryza 3.
Yay.
I didn't mind that personally because I just sort of go with the flow with this stuff.
I do, but I'm the type of person that I get so addicted to the crafting that's all I want to do, and I don't want to necessarily do the story. So yeah. When I get arbitrarily shut off like that without progressing the story naturally, it just bugs me.
Well, and in fairness to your point, Kelly, Ryza 1's story starts out pretty damn slow.
Yeah, it took me 3 times to get into this game because I had started it twice and put it down because I wasn't hitting that point where it was grabbing me.
Are any of you really playing this game for the story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. It's cute. It's a cute story.
I mean, I tried it out, like, because, oh, there's an alchemy game, and this one's supposed to be pretty good, and, yep, I'm an alchemist, and there's some story happening. Great.
Like, I mean, we talked like, about story last week and how sometimes the utility games are good for it.
Yeah, and it's a huge part of it. It's definitely, like, a very character-focused story.
It's a generic anime story with character progression like a generic anime. Like, come on. Are you really getting anything out of this?
Sometimes that's good, though.
All right.
I mean, again,
I'll say where the story, I think, did pretty good is the way that it was woven around the town. I didn't really get much from the people like Ryza, whoop-de-doo. You're right. It's generic anime. Like, she wants to have adventure and do stuff. And, oh, yay, you got dude with the abusive dad.
The world building around the town, the history, the multi-dimensions, that stuff's all good. And, of course, they don't go into it enough because
it has seemed very light about it. Like, oh, you know, we just don't go that way because there's a dragon, like, ever.
Well, it makes you wonder.
Like how they play some of that off.
It doesn't tirelessly info dump stuff on you.
But it is one of those problematic things, though, where it's problematic in the sense, though, that because it is so light on narrative, you almost wonder if they thought this would be a success enough that they were going to get 2 more games out of it. The first game wraps up pretty nicely that you almost kind of go, well, do I need a sequel? And then you get the really bad second game, and then you get this really fantastic ending. And it's like, what I like about Ryza in one sense is, again, I like the fact that for the trilogy, everybody grows. Everyone becomes the best version.
Some of them literally.
Yes. But it is one of those, this first game's a little rough in that sense because, you know, these are characters where they're not fully fleshed out. They're not fully realized yet. I mean, I think of characters like Bose and Lent where they have very generic purposes in the story. Lentz is literally, my dad's an asshole and I'm mad, so I'm going to travel with Ryza because I don't like my dad. I mean, it's a typical teen problem, which...
And they go for the terrible anime trope of, oh, we're going to tell you the story about why he's a jerk, but not tell you until the very end, and give him the motivations, and then you'll finally have sympathy for him, except it didn't work.
Look, my favorite was Nerdlinger, okay? Which is Tao. Every time Tao came up, I just screamed, hey, Nerdlinger! How's it going? Because I love Tao! I actually do. I think Tao is adorable. Mm-hmm. And again, he's one who gets physical growth in the second game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he becomes so nerdy?
He becomes a real boy. He literally grows up. He literally grows up.
He's taller, finally.
Yeah, he becomes a real boy. Not like that fake boy we have in the first game. But yeah, like, the characters are fine. But again, I think they get better as the series, as the trilogy grows. And I think this first game kind of just suffers from the fact that it's using tropes to kind of have characters. They're not interesting, but they're there, right? Which is not, I don't think, is a positive in a lot of ways. And again, if your memorable aspects to the characters are Lila has big titties, Tao is Nerdlinger, Bowes is dumb.
I mean,
The majority of mainstream JRPGs is that, though.
It's just archetypes.
Well, but Bowes has the same problem because he doesn't get his real growth until the second game when he and Tao go to school together. So
I'm going
to
go back to what Ryan said. Hold on. I think he did get some growth in this game. When you get the backstory of how he, like, rescued her.
Yes, I mean, that's fine, but he's not that interesting still.
Like, no.
The problem is that the whole story didn't work because you wouldn't, like, literally just have that whole drama for years without talking to each other. It just doesn't make any sense.
You're all trapped on the small island together. You're all going to know each other.
You would have worked this out, like, a week after it happened.
Chris, that's... In every media, every movie, every sitcom, like every sitcom plot is, hey, you didn't talk to each other, so.
Yeah, look, that's Chris, Ryza's not. You shouldn't be happy about it.
Ryza's not Seinfeld, Chris. No, it's not Chris.
And
they do it on purpose and make it funny while it happens. That's a little different. Like, they are intentionally being dumb about it. But.
And Chris, I've been petty enough and stubborn enough that when I was pissed at someone, I hadn't talked to them in years.
Yeah. Ooh, Kelly, hold that grudge.
Especially when you're a teenager and holding that grudge is kind of all you have.
Kelly, I would argue with you, but honestly, I forgot most of this stupid storyline that I don't even want to try.
Do you know what my disappointment is with this game? Why don't Ryza and Claudia kiss?
Because they're not interested in each other.
But they are interested in each other. That's the problem.
I think
you took something away that the authors didn't intend, or maybe
There is that one like optional question mark scene where Claudia talks with Ryza about how Claudia just literally asks, hey, are we really best friends? And Ryza is just like really so fucking confused by what she's even asking. It's like,
is Claudia actually into her? I forgot about this.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
And Ryza doesn't notice.
It's definitely.
Yeah. Ryza's the dumb dumb.
I don't care if the writer intended it or not. She absolutely, like, there's definitely, like.
It's played off that way, yeah.
Yeah.
Claudia definitely plays off. Statement stop. You know,
it's been so long. I'm not.
I was going to say, maybe this comes up later in the game. I'm like 25 hours in. I'm going to the big tower. And, like, I haven't even picked up on that at all.
Have you been doing all the side stuff?
Yeah, everything that's open, I go back to that town, like, between every area.
Clear out all that stuff.
I'm being terrible, because in Game 2 and 3, they really, really, really hype that up. And then they go, but by the way, we're not going to let them be a couple. So, I'm getting ahead of myself, because, you know, I don't remember much of the plot, like Chris.
I've definitely seen people refer to this series as Yuri bait, so.
It's totally Yuri bait. It is.
That's when two girls like each other.
And yet, Knights of Azure was their Yuri game, and it's the same company.
Yep. That also had a lot of boobies.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also, like, there's the whole issue with the Orin race and the local water supply, and stuff is happening, and Empel's there. He looks like a poor man's Lizard Velleth.
Well, got his hair.
His hair makes no sense.
Yeah,
like, neither does Lila's.
Like, his front's fine, but then his back has this weird, like, I don't know even know what they are.
Hair is fleshy, I'm telling you.
He's not even the same race as Leela, I'm pretty sure.
Well, listen, you don't know anything about that race. Don't you say what race he is or isn't.
I mean, I think they're both Orin, though. Oh, he's half. He's half Orin, yes.
I thought he was just human. Did they ever say that he's Orin?
No, he's half, from the other side.
He is from the other world.
Really?
Yes.
I thought the point was he was human and stumbled into that world.
Oh, and Lila found him. Remember details?
Look.
At some point,
he is half Orin, half human.
To the wiki. What's his name?
I'm on it right now.
Wiki says he's half Orin, half human.
But he was an alchemist that worked for the Kingdom of
Maybe two or three mentioned something about this. I don't know.
Yeah, because that was the thing. He worked for one of the kingdoms far away.
Hold on, let's not spoil two or three. We're only spoiling
one.
No, I'm not saying that.
He's right.
Okay.
And I remember this because I've heard this recently. Like, he was banished because, like, they asked him about alchemy, and he's like, oh, well, you know, I had to make a big explosive, and that blew, that's what, like, hurt his arm.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That's right.
Yeah, because I just made him the prosthetic arm, which isn't a prosthetic arm at all. It's like a brace.
It's for his quest.
Yes, yeah. But yeah, he had worked for this kingdom, and like he had been kind of like wrapped into it, like to make bombs or whatever. And then he got banished because he made too big a bomb, or he was unknowingly wrapped up in a conspiracy to overthrow the government. And
like, you know, just happens some days.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, species half Orin, half human. We might have spoiled that for a few games.
No, I'm pretty sure that's in the first game that you learned from the...
Like I said, I haven't got to the end yet, so we'll see.
Yeah. Oh, it's a late reveal that's like, I'm not surprised by this at all, because his hair has flesh.
It's the hair! Chris knew from the hair.
See, it was... I didn't even realize he had a fake arm until... That quest
it's not
where
really
you had
fake,
to make
though. They call his arm's there.
His
I don't
arm's
think
there.
It's fake.
No, it he was hurt. Yeah, like he couldn't use his hand, which again, until that quest happened, I didn't even realize it. It was like, what?
They like call it a prosthetic arm, like you said, and like really what it is he's got like an RSI brace, like a wrist brace.
Yep.
Like he it's not really prosthetic. It's just he needs a little support.
Exactly. Oh gosh, when I made it, I was like, prosthetic arm, what the hell? And I make it and I'm like, just a brace. Like, what?
I don't know if that's a translation issue or they just
it could
so
be
sensitive about, you know, missing body parts in Japan or something. I don't get it.
Like, I thought the localization was like generally fine, but I'm sure there's some problems that I didn't pick up on.
No, I have no idea. I'm just talking about this one thing. Like, the rest seem fine.
Yeah.
I just know because I definitely know three got some criticism for its localization.
In general, this series has gotten since it left NIS, a lot of them have been criticized for their localizations. Just there's a lot of awkwardness sometimes in the translation, and you'll read it and the sentence will just be like, wait, that doesn't make sense. And it's not, like, again, I think they got better as it went on. I don't remember, like, three being too bad, but I do remember the first one having some pretty...
Isn't NIS just in general having a lot of localization problems around then?
They were, but this is, like, again, this, they had
like
already
the
lost...
Deep old times?
Yeah.
Well, they had already lost this to Koei when Koei decided they wanted
this
Koei. Back.
Right. No, all right.
So,
yeah, Koei Tecmo.
Another, you know, paragon of translation.
Yeah.
They only have so many people to work on their translation when you got to program multiple samurais and whatnot to kill in your game.
Hmm.
You know, you press X to win stuff.
Can they just give me Atelier Musso at this point?
Oh my
you
god!
You know what? Why haven't we had that? They have enough games to source.
We have
it from.
So many games, and again, if the Musos are just I beat up a bunch of slimes, I'm in. Like that's fine.
You're running around the battlefield the dropping pancakes on people. This writes itself. Like, come on.
gonna drop pancakes on poonies.
And because you're killing
and
so
nice
many
deep alchemy system.
Yeah, you have like a big alchemy pot, and you have to put stuff in by the hundreds because you have to gather so much. Oh my god, this hypothetical game could be amazing.
I mean, each character will have one funny attack the first time you see it. I don't know if yes. that means the game will be amazing, but you'll have the lady with the pancake attack, the lady with the waffle attack, someone with an ice cream attack, someone with the alchemy thing you just described with the pot.
And Pamela will drop a giant teddy bear.
How many Pamelas will be in there is the real question.
All the Pamelas. An army of Pamela.
Shit, that's why it's a Musou game, because there's just an army of Pamela coming at you.
You are fighting the army of Pamelas.
Give me the army of Pamela. I love it.
We kind of glossed over the alchemy system a little bit. We said it was amazing, but we didn't describe it.
Can't do that at this point. It's been too long.
Well, basically, the alchemy system is like a giant grid that you have to fill out.
Yeah, flow chart.
Yeah, kind of a flow chart. And what makes it so addicting is most of these have a node in there that unlocks a more powerful version of the item. Yes. And yeah. mm-hmm. trying to get to the more powerful version of the item is addicting as hell.
Because if you have better quality ingredients, you get more points, and then it makes it possible to get to the bit to unlock the other nodes, and then you can unlock the better item, and then like just throw out all the stuff you just crafted because it's all garbage. Because now you're in a new tier, and you can go from these new tiers to unlock other items, and then keep going and keep going and keep going, and then eventually you just can't. You need a tier of ingredients you can't get yet because you've been gated.
What made me frustrated was learning that you could combine a bunch of the alchemy tools into one thing because you only have so much inventory space for your alchemy tools. You know, your mining pick.
The gathering tools.
Yeah,
it doesn't last very long. Eventually, you're like, you just have like the omni tools or a couple tools, and it's like, you know, what was the point of having a good individual version of these?
I don't know. I just know that I became obsessed with trying to get as many of them combined as possible, including the compasses.
For obvious reasons.
But I couldn't combine the compasses because I was still missing stuff. I was upset.
Mm. Yeah, it really is a little frustrating when you just do not have the right ingredients for items.
And the end game encyclopedia is terrible about telling you where stuff is.
God, yeah. Like, plus you have to flip through it just to find the thing.
Mm-hmm. Because it'll say the area, but it does not specify, what sub-area stuff is at.
Yeah, I think that did me in a couple times.
I had to keep my phone handy with a strategy guide open at all times just to help mitigate some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was going to say, I am usually that person with a strategy guide open. Mm-hmm. I've made it through 25 hours, and I don't think I've looked the damn thing up. Oh, I did. I wanted to know when speaking of later stuff, that's what I was wondering about. When can I fly across those green swirly things? And that's when it was like, oh, okay, so I got a ways to go.
Yeah, and something that the game really didn't make clear until I messed around with it was that using different tools on the same items produces different results. It does?
It does. When you make a new tool, like when I made the hammer, it's like, okay, you've got a hammer, and it flat out says you should try this and your... What's the first one you have? Just like your rod, right?
Staff. Yeah.
The staff, yeah. And it tells you, no, try the hammer... on the same materials that you use your staff on.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds you of that.
Yeah, because you can get, I think you can get like different items that way.
Oh, yeah. There's some things that you can do two or three different things to. Like fallen logs. You whack it with one, you get a log, you pound it with the hammer, and you just start getting like the bark or whatever. Trees, especially. Trees, especially. Like you hit it with your rod, you get fruit. If you chop it with the hammer, you get wood. And if you hit it, or wait, the axe gives
you
wood.
Chop it with the hammer. All right, yeah. Tell me more.
If you hit it with the hammer, you get bark, which is like part of the paper.
100% sensical. Yeah, this is how you break down a tree. I tap exactly. It with a rod, and I get fruit. Hit it with a hammer, I get bark.
Oh, okay. Maybe I was being impatient. It's like, damn it, Gambi, I know what a hammer does.
I mean, they mention it, like, but I don't know. Like, I could see forgetting that and then coming back and being like, oh, right, I need to hit this with different things. Like, but, like, I think it says what it'll do, right?
Why do I not have plant essence? Well, what I figured out is if you're standing next to the whatever you're trying to hit, the ones that you can use on it will highlight.
Oh, okay.
Correct.
Which is kind of...
I mean, it clearly crosses out the ones, like, if you walk up to it with your rod, you can do it, but it shows it crossed out on the screen.
Yeah. Once I figured that out, I was, like, trying everything on everything. Like, okay, this note I'm going to wand, the next note I'm going to...
Isn't that what puts it in your book, or I forget?
Like,
once you figure out what tool on what thing, does it then put it in your book to say this is how you get this thing, or no?
I've not gone through the book and read that to see where you can get it. I don't know.
I did a lot of gathering. I did so much.
Oh yeah,
gathering.
So do I.
Much gathering.
you could easily gather in like one area before you like change screens. Like there was plenty of times I gathered all I could hold. And I've got a bigger, I mean, I know you can make a basket, but I started the game with a basket. I bought the deluxe edition because it was like 60% off. So for like $20, I got the game in deluxe edition on Switch. And it came with Swift shoes and a bigger basket at the beginning. And yeah, I was filling that big basket up.
I'll talk about pay to win.
I know, right? It's garbage.
I got some outfits too.
See, that's the Nothing real good. That's the real game right there.
I put Ryza in blue. I like Ryza in blue better than red.
Okay. So now let's talk about the battle system, because I adore this whole get the meter higher to do more stuff to the enemy, and then having a huge chain attack going off at the end.
Mm. Yeah.
I still struggle with it a little bit, but it took, and that's how I bounced off it at first. I don't know, maybe I was just playing when I was tired or whatever, but just like you, Kelly, I had to come back to it like a month later, and it was the battle system that did it, but
yeah.
I figured it out at this point. I don't feel like I unduly die very much.
It's not a very hard game for the most part.
No, it's a Telia game.
Yeah.
I,
and that was good because I definitely had to get the hang of certain things with that.
And I will admit, I did find it frustrating when, because you have various tasks that you need to complete to get alchemy points, to level up your alchemy. And I did find it kind of frustrating when they want you to get like to level 5 in the battle meter, but most fights at most you'll get to level 3. Mm-hmm. So, and even trying to take on some of the huge boss mobs on the map, I would get to 4 and then have somebody accidentally get killed or accidentally kill the mob. And it's like, oh, well, now like that ruined the whole trying to pull off the combo thing.
Mm.
So, thanks game.
I found like a big silver puny that I could just farm, and that was an easy one to get up to 5 every time.
Yeah,
because I think it was hitting me for 1 damage.
Don't, you're giving me PTSD of the puny that you have to send away for items.
PTSD, like puny.
Isn't that in the first one too? I thought it was sits outside your atelier.
Yeah, just a little guy.
You have to feed him stuff, and then he'll go get things. And it's like, why am I doing this all the time?
You know what? I haven't done that one bit. I like the farming. I did. Anybody play with the farming a lot?
Yes, of course. Oh my gosh, you have to.
I didn't
have to play farming.
Really?
I didn't do the farming.
It's so fun.
There's good.
I didn't get to do it. I didn't get to do it because I couldn't get a seed. For some reason.
I had to look up the best stuff to prove that it was worth doing. But then once I learned what the recipes were, it's like, yeah, this is the way to get high elemental stuff.
Damn.
Yeah.
I guess I'll start farming again. I made 3 seeds right away because they give you a seed, I thought.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, they give you the recipe for a seed. And then, of course, I had the items.
No, I agree. Like, for a lot of the game, like, I wonder when they're going to start giving me farming stuff. And I don't remember how it works, but I remember having to look up how to do it well.
Oh.
Yeah, I
planted it all, and everything I got was just like common stuff that I already had. So I was like, oh, I don't need more of that. I already got 25 of them.
I played with it a little bit to get some of the rarer items or some of the stuff that I seem to use a lot of. But I also kept forgetting about it because, you know, you use fast travel and it's kind of off the beaten path.
Mm. Well, it's right there in front of your house. But yeah,
I know.
I mean, I know. You're right. It's just silly because it's like
there's
right
no there. Reason to ever walk out your house door. That's what I mean.
No. The puny with the, and once, the farming.
Yeah. But once that fast travel unlocks, because I was so annoyed that there was no fast travel, I think for like 10 hours or so, it takes a while. And then it's like, oh, we found a map.
We really want to make you appreciate it when we give it to you.
Well, though I'll admit I did like that there was a cutscene for every time you would like go on that boat between the island and the mainland.
Okay, I wrote that down somewhere that I was getting so sick and tired of that because they were like, oh, can't we like, what did they want to do? Build a sail or something? And it was like, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 cutscenes in a row that was the same discussion over and over again. And I was like, okay, I'm so sick of taking this boat. Oh, I know. Okay, so you have fast travel at the beginning of the game, but you have to go to those signs. And the signs warp you around.
I think I'm pretty sure those only get you around the island, not the...
They do. So that was the thing. So, yes, I got lost. So, like, when you first take the boat across, and then you're back on the island for, like, an hour doing stuff, I totally was lost in the game. I didn't know where the damn boat was. I was like, holy crap, where'd that boat go? Huh. And I swear, 30 minutes running around that island trying to find the secret cove again.
I'll never forget getting irrationally upset when you unlock the secret hideout for the first time. But when you it warps you back to Ryza's bedroom in the town. And it's like, what kind of bullshit is this? And then, you know, had I done like a couple of things later, I would have unlocked the map and be like, okay. I can calm down now because I thought that that's what it was going to be like the rest of the game, and I got so upset.
Just trust the game. Keep going.
I know. It was a lesson in patience. That's for sure.
Well, they want you to appreciate the environments.
Yeah, and I do appreciate the environments, but I also like getting to where I need to go quickly.
Yeah. I don't think this is like the kind of game where you really like, I don't know what I'm saying. Like those games, like, I don't know, like Dragon's Dogma or whatever, where the whole idea is that like the journey is the whole point. Like, I don't think like Rise is quite that. So.
No, and the thing is that when you're the primary focus of your game is crafting things, I believe that you need to let travel be as easy as possible so that you can get those things in an efficient manner. Because, you know, if you're running back and forth trying to get those things, all it is wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's how I feel about games like this.
Yeah.
How much did you guys play around with those bottles that randomly generated areas for stuff?
I did it maybe a few times.
Ultimate cheese option for endgame, actually.
Oh, is it?
The codes are shareable and deterministic, so you can like farm specific things.
I have
refused to look up the code yet because I know that's what I'll do.
And I will say, I gave in at the end and did that. Yeah.
Oh, the very first one I opened had a gold puny in it, and like I farmed that for experience for like 2 or 3 levels, and got a lot of those gold. I got a lot of gold everything puny items.
Like, did they really expect people to engage with those sorts of systems legitimately?
Oh yeah, I mean it's like tell your friends.
Of course, you're going to share the codes.
Well, it said on there, tell your friends. I'm like, I'm just going to go to a website that tells me.
Yeah, it's going
to
be online where you get it all.
Like, exactly.
The three of us aren't going to find anything good. Like, why would I do that?
Yeah, like,
and here I am playing it 5 years after release. I'm like, oh shit, this is all there. I should just look it up. I was like, no, don't do it. I
didn't really care that much, so.
Of those right in a row, and then I've never gone back to it.
I cared because I was finishing out all my alchemy possible crafts of all sorts.
Wow. Yeah. I will not be doing that.
But valid.
I mean, honestly, if they didn't have a keyword system, wouldn't that be the point of a thing like that, is to share that kind of stuff with your friends?
Yeah.
I didn't have friends to share it with because I was reviewing it.
You were reviewing it.
Oh, darn.
Sam has no friends. That's the point.
That's the point of the story, is Sam had no friends.
Well, you should have had like codes from the Japanese version that probably work.
But... You know, and I didn't think of that probably even at the time, honestly.
Someone's written a guide by then.
I mean, I played around with the bottle worlds and stuff. They weren't really my bag.
Not like it's fun on its own. It's like you're there for the materials.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I maybe got like, I think I got something I actually needed like once and then never again.
Like, this is fine. Meh. I said meh. I can't do it. I in general, that's one of the things in these Tilly series that I'm never interested in, is some of the more like cheese your way through things. I don't like to cheese my way through things. Unless the game gives me a damn good reason why.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Lalula. Final boss. I'm sorry, I'm done.
I do like building absolutely broken bombs that cause a million status effects. And then
use your weapons when you have bombs.
I think there's a point where you don't want to like optimize the fun out of the game, but yeah, I see what you mean.
The fun was optimizing my characters.
That's it.
Well, yeah, yeah,
not the battle say, system.
Like, cheesing my way through it.
Getting through those battles quicker is that makes it more fun.
Yes.
Huh. I mean, want to see the animations the first time in the battle system, but after that, it's like they're just I want to get through it.
100%, Chris. Because yes, especially like I would like to control Lila more, but I'd actually rather like her. I feel like hers. Oh no, it's the other way. Ryza's take forever. Oh my god, yeah. That spear one that she's got above her head, that the three like spears go flying into him. That one takes forever. So I'm actually usually controlling Lila because hers animations go pretty fast. And the people that you're not controlling, if they're doing their moves, they happen quickly on the screen. Like you press up so that they'll use their up the AP on their own, but the AI use the AP.
Yeah.
Yeah, their animations go so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody else find it frustrating that the character roles or the characters were locked to certain slots? So, like, you couldn't use Claudia and Tao at the same time, for example?
It was weird, but, like, ultimately, anything that keeps me from having to make a decision is good, because I'll take too long.
That's fair. You're not good at decision-making, Chris.
Hey, you're not supposed to know that.
I've been on many a podcast with you to know that.
I guess it was a little annoying, but not like detrimentally so.
I guess I just found it frustrated because I was trying to optimize a lot of those tasks at once, and not being able to use certain character combinations.
It was nice to be able to, doing those tasks is good because.
And that gets fixed in the other two.
Okay. And then on top of that, I could never figure out what the role nodes were supposed to do in the alchemy.
World
node?
Your defender, level 3. Attacker, level 4.
I think it makes it so that they're more powerful. I forget
somebody like defender level 4 and they're just there attacking the whole time. It's not like they're defending or.
I think it's more like their stats. Their stats.
How about we look it up?
See, I thought that it affected what
I played this
slots.
2 months ago and I'm like forgetting details about this.
Because I thought that, well, maybe it affects what slot they can be in.
No, it doesn't.
I know it doesn't, but that's what I thought it did at first and then messed with it some and still couldn't figure it out.
Well, there you go. In the chat, I just put a lovely discretion. Hello, the guide still tells nothing about it. What serves role level?
What serves role level?
That's you need a minimum of 3 levels to reach each role. 3rd-tier roles, 4th-tier roles, but what does that mean? What does it do? Increased damage and critical chance. If you're in the front row and there's another person there, you get focused on more and will take blows for them.
Oh, okay.
That's what defenders
do. This is like
If you're in the really back row, you take
not the
reduced
best
damage.
Right summary of this mechanic I've ever seen.
No, this is not. This
you
is the first
what?
One I came across. So,
I mean, so this does stay through all three games, but it does kind of get transformed in the other two, where a lot of it is you can just send a character out to defend somebody else, and vice versa, they can take a hit for you. Again, depending on how your setup is. And that comes with, I think it's you build the relationships. As you build the relationships with the characters, they will do those things for you.
Okay, that makes more sense then.
You also need like 10 rolls total to get to tier 2.
Yeah.
Tells you which of the tier 2 role you are.
Okay. Which in this game was very confusing. More streamlined in the other two, where it's not... It's more automatic as opposed to the game being like, I'm going to pick one for you.
So what it means is you haven't stacked enough.
You have to stack to a certain point, and that it kind of gives you that offering of like, well, this is what it's going to do. And it's like, all right, I guess. Again, it's not a well-explained system, and it is one of those problematic elements to the game where, again, this game has a bunch of things in the battle system, like, and thinking back to it, it's like, oh, it wanted to do a lot of things, but it couldn't quite figure out the focus of what it wanted. And so
I'm not even engaged with those roles, and I'm doing just fine. So,
it's not interesting.
They have all this stuff there, but you don't need to worry so much.
You don't need to
if you're doing one of the other things.
I think I ended up turning up the difficulty level on this game because I was going for such high-end gear. I was like, well, I better make the game have a challenge and have a point to making all this crafting. At that point, the role matter.
I will say the final boss was actually pretty hard for me. So.
Oh, I wiped the floor with it, but I also stayed on easy the whole time.
Yeah, if you stay on easy.
Yeah, I was on normal. I don't think I was doing normal. I'm not sure I was doing the best job with
the last boss. I do recall being different.
yeah, I think
it was a good challenge.
So can be different, Chris.
Yeah. This game. I was really like just sweating, like switching between characters, making sure they stayed alive, and then making sure their powerful attacks went off when I could
chain them together.
Yeah.
Again, it's fine.
Especially when it was a two phase boss that you had to do both of them in succession.
Yeah, that's just crap.
I mean,
so you got to manage your charge level, right?
Yeah. It's one of those. It's fine. There's, I think, too many systems for the battle system to stay interesting, and it is one of those. Yeah, you don't really need to engage with a lot of
battle
it.
System
to
interesting
be
in any atelier.
You know what? Yes, there are some that actually have interesting battle systems. Eska and Lodgy has a great battle system.
Yeah, I really enjoyed
actually
that one.
Engaging. Yeah. I think Atelier Sophie 2 has a really engaging battle system. I think Ryza 3 has a really good battle system. I think because this is the first of a new trilogy, I think they were trying to again, a lot of this game has a lot of experimental elements.
I don't know if I'd call the battle system experimental.
It is different. It is absolutely different, but it is not great. Is what I'm going to say.
I mean, it isn't great. I just didn't feel like they were pushing the envelope in any way. Still seemed like it's an anime game where you press buttons a lot and then things die.
No, it's more like, again, I think this one just suffers from, it's got too many things that it introduces to you, but fails to explain a lot of it. Whereas when you get to Ryza 3, the battle system is so streamlined that you don't have a lot of these additional elements kind of weighing on top of you or pretending they're there. You just know what you need to do.
Yeah, like for example, Chris, I didn't understand the charge system at the beginning of the game. So, and bear in mind, the last Atelier game I played was Maruru about a decade ago. So I'm just making nothing but uni balls, just stacking them up because I wanted to be able to abuse them. And I'm like, wait, why can I only use 5 Uniballs? I've made like 20 of them. Oh, because items have charges. And then it didn't explain the refilling the charges very well. So I had to look that up, too.
Yeah, I think this is just like localization problems or something.
I thought it was very clear. It told me right away, and there was the letter Y. It's right there.
I actually did like this because like it was like, okay, so you have like a limited amount of charges, and then you could like then sacrifice an item to refill it if you needed to, at the expense of not being able to use it until you went back to the hideout.
I actually purposely carry around crap items because I'm going to sacrifice that anyway.
Yeah.
I got a good bomb. I got a good healing item. So the third slot is like a piece of junk thing that I'm just going to you're the first to go.
It was just kind of frustrating that you basically had to sacrifice a slot.
There is that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just item greedy, I guess. It just popped with me sitting there having to decide what I need to sacrifice to get more healing items was just causing me a lot of emotional headache.
Well, anything else we need to discuss? We discussed the alchemy good.
We discussed the battle system.
System pretty good, but a lot of weird stuff that we didn't understand.
Yeah. I like the visuals.
It's a good looking game.
I think it's a very pretty game. I think it's got a lot of color, which... Again, this is one thing I love about this series is there is so much color. And it's just, it's a pretty world to explore. Even when you go to the Everdark, even that, like, you see these beautiful...
That underworld?
That was a cool...
That underworld place was actually nice.
Did you ever go back in the post-game?
I didn't because I'm such a... Oops, I hit the credits. Okay, I'm game's done for me.
Ryan, I'm just like you. Remember... Yeah, it's a hard sell for post-game a lot of times.
I just remember being a little bit frustrated that you could only go to the Everdark once, and it had pretty decent items, and you couldn't go back.
You could get all those items, though, right at the mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, I want to go get the mother load.
Yeah, because I remember I didn't walk into the Vortex the first time I got there. I was just, like, walking around the ruins... And I'm like, oh, look at all this great stuff. Oh, my God. I went back, you know, spent 45 minutes alchemizing everything I could, then went back and cleared it out again and went back and, you know, did some more stuff. And I'm like, OK. Then I walked through that portal and it was all the same stuff. I'm like, son of a bitch, I should have just walked through. It was fine.
It doesn't help that there's so many high level enemies around that portal. That trying to avoid them is kind of a pain.
Oh, I could take them out pretty easily. I think a lot of those are the knights. And I know there's a scorpion in there too. The knights always seem pretty weak to lightning, and I think a lot of my bombs right around then were lightning ones. I'm kind of actually hitting my first difficulty curve. I was talking about it on our Discord, RP Gamer Discord, a couple days ago, and someone's like, "Oh yeah, there was at least 4 huge difficulty curves in that game." And I'm like, my God, I haven't hit one. I've alchemized my way ahead of any difficulty curve so far. And then coming up to the tower, the North Tower, I actually got a party wipe, like maybe the first battle right then. And I was like, okay, I need to do this a little better. And then I've really noticed that starting to go up the tower, all the battles are taking quite a while. I'm like, man, these are real hit point sinks. I need to get stronger, or not necessarily stronger. I need to go through the alchemy cycle again, because that is a completely new zone, the tower, and it's got lots of new stuff that I've been like, oh, I've been waiting for that item. I've seen that item on my item conversion for a couple different things. I think it was a degenesis stone was one I kept seeing. I kept hitting a roadblock because I didn't have any degenesis stones.
Mega Drive stones. Sorry, that was a Mega Drive stones. Since you're having a hard time saying Genesis.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that was a terrible joke.
That's all right. We'll just throw that at the beginning of the episode. So I've we pretty much taken this apart.
Yeah. I never figured out how to unlock more. Well, I unlocked some furniture by buying stuff from Big Daddy Merchant Guy. but not quite to the level where I could really pimp out my little hideout.
Yeah, I just sort of got whatever furniture just I just happened to get.
Yeah, I was gonna say if someone's appeared and I haven't tried to.
And that's a system I wanted to explore a lot more because depending on how you paint your house, you have different bonuses.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a nice touch.
I do a lot of exploring at night because I put all the night stuff on.
I just explored whenever.
Yeah, I didn't really rest that often in the bed.
Well, I do believe
that. Hey, Sam.
Yeah,
talking about resting and heading off to bed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's out of mana. She needs to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. I need a little resty poo, but I really enjoyed, you know, being here. And I'm sorry that I'm an old person who is bad at staying up late. I know it's not late for you guys, but it is for me.
I mean, it's 10:37, so that's actually not late for me, because my sleep schedule is fucked
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I think Chris and I are the only Midwesterners that have okay. Yeah,
Midwesterners, huh?
So, all right. I'm old.
I feel your pain.
That's all right. Well, this is a good time to cut for the, we'll come back for our memories.
Yep.
Anyway.
Appreciate being here. Thank you so much. And you guys have a great evening.
Always happy to have you, Sam.
No problem. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
As far as checking the prices, I mean, the game is on all of the online stores and I think is, as of this recording, currently on sale right now. I at least on PSN, because PSN started a huge sale this morning. Can you usually get it for around 30?
I bought it for less. I think I got the deluxe digital. The deluxe digital has gone down to $28.79, so you can get the regular game even less. That's Switch, sorry.
Yeah.
So Switch, I got deluxe digital for $28, and regular is even less.
It's not on sale on Steam. Checking Nintendo store, it might not show it. Oh, it's not on sale in Nintendo store, so I guess PSN right now. As far as physical copies go, I think they've had to reprint this game a couple of times because physical copies, especially the Switch ones, sold out pretty quick. And that's how I wanted to play the game, because I like Atelier games and I like being able to play them anytime I want. That would have been wonderful when I lived in the apartment and was playing through the Arlen games and possibly the Dust games, you know, being able to play them on the couch or what have you. It is the regular edition is $23.99 on PSN right now.
Oh, but that's actually not too bad.
No, that's not, given that I paid $60 for all three games for a physical cartridge, because I'm stubborn like that.
Yeah.
Did everybody play this on Switch?
I played on PS4.
Okay. The lone outlier. Because that's the problem, especially with physical. They instantly sell out on Switch, and then the PlayStation versions you can find for a song months later because they haven't they've hardly sold any of them. So, hopefully nobody had any problems playing on Switch, because I did have a crash like maybe once or twice.
Yeah, had some crashes.
Luckily, the game is good about auto-saving, mostly. So, overall thoughts?
I really liked it, and it made me want to get excited and play the second one, and then I never finished it.
Yeah, it's really good. I want to play the other two.
I can't wait to play the other two. I don't know how I'm going to feel about two, because...
Maybe you'll love it.
Now, Chris, did you go right into two after the first one?
It wasn't long after, because it was new at that point.
So earlier when Sam was talking about it, how she really didn't like number two, I was looking on Open Critic and Metacritic, and both the first one didn't really get good on Metacritic, but on Open Critic, it was 80, 81, 82 for the three games in order. Metacritic, it kind of was 75, but then like 81, 81. So both of them showed increase or at least the same level of scores on reviews. I mean, you know, take that with a grain of salt, but maybe, you know.
What can I say? People are wrong.
there's that.
Well, Metacritic scores can be dicey for a bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's why I was looking at Metacritic and OpenCritic, and they both kind of agree. They both agree then.
I wonder the Steam reviews are like.
I had the page
positive.
Open.
Isn't everything mostly positive on Steam?
No.
Oh, you know what? Steam had arguments because it's listed as like a porn game or something. Adult content.
Oh, what?
God. Those guys, nope. Man.
I got into a, I didn't get into a discussion, but I can't remember what I Googled.
I swear.
And it came up with a discussion about that. Like, why is this listed as adults only or something like that? Or it lists nudity or whatever. And I'm like, really?
She wears very short shorts.
Yeah.
That's got to be an error.
Yeah, it has to be.
Now, this was a discussion. Yeah, very positive.
Are there weirdos getting horny over this?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I mean, there's weirdos getting horny over anything, but
like the of everything, right? So, but
yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so it must have been fixed since whenever I saw that thing. Because, yeah, right now it's listed as, you know, teen, alcohol, fantasy violence, mild language, mildly suggestive themes. It's not
pretty normal.
Yeah, that's pretty much any JRPG is going to have that.
I mean, if they sell statues of it, people are horny for it. Oh, that being said, I think we're ready for our round table, unless anybody has anything else they want to contribute. I think personally, if you're like me, if you've lapsed on the Atelier series since the PS3 and want a good fresh start, I think you can't go wrong with this game.
Agreed.
Yeah. And if you're like me and you haven't played one before, this is a good one to start with.
It was the first one I played since Atelier Iris 1.
That long ago.
Yeah.
That's a while ago.
Pamela. Keep in mind, I bought most of them for quite a while after Atelier Iris 1. I just wasn't playing them.
Yeah, your wife was, though.
No, this is before I met her. This was long ago.
Wow.
I had to learn to stop buying all the games just because they had nice collector's editions. It was a hard lesson.
I haven't quite learned that lesson yet.
You're getting better collector's editions than I'm getting,
Thankfully, I'm so cheap, so I never even think of these limited editions.
Yeah, Ryan, you and me both. I've pretty much gone digital only.
You guys are in the right frame of mind. You were doing it right.
I like owning
physicals, but yeah, other than that.
Chris, I pre-ordered Metaphor this week.
Why?
What? Oh, you can't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Screw that game.
You can't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend.
It's fucking
yeah,
Atlas.
There's no dating in Metaphor, which I'm happy for because I'm tired of dating in games.
No, but there's still plenty of relationship management. Like, that was not the big announcement. They had a whole video thing showing off the gameplay. It was great, and it looks interesting, and it's still a freaking Persona game. They just don't want to call it one.
My expectations are on the floor for that game.
Because I had to confess, Chris.
All right.
I'll probably confess again on RPG Cast. Anyway, let's have a brief musical interlude. We'll come back with the round table. Welcome back to RPG Backtrack, where we are now getting into the roundtable. Our personal thoughts, our feelings, our favorites, what we were doing in our life. Asking, as always, what was your favorite moment from the game, Matt?
All right, so I didn't see this as horny as a game as Sam did, and she's not here to defend it. So Sam sort of saw it as a very horny game. I didn't see any of the female relationship stuff that she saw. Honestly, what is it? Lila's big boobs. Like, it doesn't even register. Like,
yeah,
they're not spilling out anywhere.
Yeah, they just sort of like, okay, those exist. Okay,
exactly. Like, they're not like super revealing, whatever. So I actually found it really funny at the beginning. I'm like, oh, because I don't feel like this has been followed up on the rest of the game. I swear the first few hours when you're running around the island doing just like so much island stuff, definitely a couple different male NPCs like greeted Ryza like, oh, hey, how you doing? I see you've grown. And at one point, she even comments of like, what are they even talking about? And like, even I was like, okay, was that supposed to be a sexual thing? Because like, I thought the whole point here is she's got short. Yeah, like old man. But I was like, yeah, she's got short shorts. That's her thing. Like the short shorts are like, oh, I see you've grown. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. But I did have a really funny one that I remember. At one point, the beginning of the game, and I think for most of the game, the town mayor is in a jerk. And at one point, he wants Ryza to deliver something to his son. And, you know, she doesn't really like him much. And she's like, well, he's like, oh, I'll give you my wallet. She's like, woohoo! Yeah! So she goes and makes the delivery, and then she opens it afterwards, and it's, like, worthless. Like, there's nothing in there. And he explains to her, he's like, oh, yeah, my dad keeps a second wallet around just for that exact reason. I was like, that's pretty funny, actually.
Not really a funny moment, but just kind of a shocking moment was finding out that Bo's family had the orb in the basement. That was the island's water source.
Mm.
For me, that was like, whoa, no wonder you guys are rich assholes. You're controlling the means of production.
Well, I mean, they said that the whole beginning of the game, that like they control the water source, they control the water source, they control the water source. And I mean, I guess at the time I should have thought of that. Like, you know, obviously you have the literary Chekhov's water source thing. So it had to be mentioned and then brought up later. But yeah, like, no, that was kind of a surprise. I was like, oh, this actually connects to the whole story. I thought it was just going to be like, you're jerks that have water.
Like, you guys have whatever. Access to the wells, not a mad orb of endless water.
And at the same time, like, endlessly. So I was like, is it really a big deal that they control that? Like, it's right there.
And I thought...
It's an item I don't need to pay for.
And I thought that it was kind of an important moment for the game as a whole, because it showed kind of a bit of character growth for Boss, because previously he was trying to screw you over. And you could kind of tell that he had been feeling guilty about this for a long time.
Well, yeah, he kind of wastes like no time in learning, and he's like, holy shit, we got that.
Yeah,
that's us.
I think there's he couldn't figure out how to reconcile the fact that like was the thing that was giving the thing that was like allowing him to like hold his father to hold power over people was also the thing that was gonna cause the island to sink or float away or something.
It was something like that.
The other land.
Yeah. No, I think it was specifically the island.
Well, it's the only reason that the island is prosperous.
Yeah.
Because they're very isolated, and they can be, because who cares? We got tons of water. We're fine.
Because I think it's also because I think he realized, like, oh, like, the thing that was giving him, the thing that was giving his father...
We're in the middle of this ocean, but...
Yeah, and also because, like, it was also doing damage to that, like, underworld place. Like, it was causing the monsters.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have a favorite moment, Ryan?
Yeah, I think... Let's see. I did... Yeah, that part where, like... I think... Yeah. Chris, do you have a favorite moment?
I mean, it is that moment. The storyline conclusion with Bose and what's going on with his dad and all that stuff is like to finally see Bose not being a jerk anymore was my favorite moment of the story. But I didn't really like the story that much, like compared to just I liked sitting in my atelier and grinding out alchemy and just going higher and higher. Make the numbers bigger. That's what I'm doing this game for. So that's what I liked.
Yeah, actually, no, what I like that, like, I liked realizing that, like, doing the side quests actually felt like they were kind of connected to each other, because it actually did make it feel like this town that, like, had community with each other.
Yeah, I particularly liked the side quests where you were fixing that one guy's cart.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't remember his name either.
I've got a feeling I missed the side quest or something early on. Like, I've got 4 or 5 side quests that I think have been there for 5 to 10 hours. And yet I can't start any of them. They're all like, oh, you have to have done this one. And I'm like, where is that one?
Some of them are just like that, Matt.
Yeah.
Are they? All right. Sorry. Yeah. I mean, there's just, and I'm like, golly, like none of those opened up. Like, no, I feel like doing one will then open another one, which will then open probably 3 of them or something like that. But they almost never do. So
that wasn't just a you problem. That drove me up the wall. Don't show me something that isn't available yet, because yeah. It's just gonna bug.
Correct.
Yeah, I had to start looking up which quests I could do now and which I couldn't.
Yeah, I don't think I really
ran into that. Well, they're color coded in the game.
Yeah, I don't think I ran into that problem for the most part, because I think I only really ran into it when I didn't have like the necessary like alchemy thing item. Mm-hmm.
And see, I think I've only had that problem once. It's to me, it's just getting it started. Anything that started, I feel like I've been able to finish pretty quickly.
I do remember that one side quest chain with that woman who wanted to like find a guy to settle down with. And then it like leads on to her learning martial arts.
Like, you know what? I was looking up funny parts, and that one was listed on I think it's on like TVTropes.com. It lists that side quest chain.
Yeah, and like, and she actually meets a guy because he's such a fan of hers.
Like, I know that there was one quest by the farm in particular that stayed red for what seemed like ages, and then when I actually could take it, I couldn't find what I needed to get for ages.
Oh, man.
Yep. I know what quest you're talking about, because I had to check a guide for that one, too, because it was driving me crazy.
Yeah,
I finally unlocked. Can I do it? I can't do it yet.
I have a feeling there are going to be a couple like that in Unicorn Overlord.
No, there aren't.
Oh, there are?
No, there aren't.
Okay. Is there something with a bridge right now that I'm not sure
if you can grind find? Bridges out with the minefields for each region.
Oh, okay.
And some bridges you don't even need to build to get to the other side. There's alternative. It's the bridges is the stupidest thing in that. Why are we talking about that game? You gotta stop inviting me on this show, because I just talk about other games.
We do that too. It's okay. No, just
yeah.
It was harkening back to quests that you start too early and can't actually finish.
Mm.
But I digress. Favorite characters.
Yeah,
I like the short kid.
I like Ryza. Tao's good too. Ryza's good. Tao's good.
Blacksmith guy, or who's the other guy? I don't know.
Lent. You mean?
Yeah. Him?
Lent.
Yeah. I don't remember their names at this point.
I liked all of them basically, but you know.
And see, I replaced those two schmucks as fast as I could.
Well, like I would like Lila and Impel, but they disappear. You know, so it's like, well, screw this. Oh,
crap. So I've got right now, I'm running Ryza and Claudia and Lila. I would like to put Impel in for Claudia, because I'm sick of her flute. I'm like, it's bugging me in the back of my head. I'm like, how the F is she attacking with a flute? You can't attack with a flute. Nobody attacks with flutes. Well, you just can't play the flute easy, and damage
easy,
people.
Easy, buddy. People don't attack with pancakes either.
It's just magic.
Matt,
I'll slap someone around the pancake before I play the flute to win. And the flute plays sounds in battle, and I guess
played Xenoblade Chronicles 3? Come on.
I have not.
The flute is super powerful.
Like, listen, that, it's magic.
I just don't know. I got her attack level, and I've alchemized that flute beyond belief. It's fine, but I'm like, it's bugging me. It's actually bugging me. And I finally
watched that one Star Trek The Next Generation episode. Flutes are powerful.
It's the only thing left from that entire world.
I used Lila and Claudia pretty much almost exclusively after I got them, because they're fine characters, but I'm with you, Matt. I wanted to dump Lent and Tao as soon as possible.
Yeah.
I couldn't deal with the absolute extreme of meathead and dork.
100%. Yep. I was, you know, Chris, you know, obviously this is an anime-ass anime game. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, this is too much anime-ass.
I didn't say they were the best characters in the game. I said they're used for fighting, because reasons I don't remember. And I don't even know how accurate. You're asking me about a game that's 4 years old, 5 years old. I don't remember.
And see, I think
we'll through them all.
No, exactly. Thank you for joining us. But yeah, like, I think, what is it? The three others of us on here, we all played it this year, didn't we?
Oh, dude.
Yeah. I played it like 2 months ago.
I played it at the beginning of the year. This was my second Breaking Backtrack homework.
Ha ha. Well,
I think this is my first Backtrack homework I've done this year.
This was like a backlog bingo game for me, and also Backtrack homework at the same time.
There you go.
So, Chris, do you remember any areas in the game that you liked in particular?
Yeah, the one they don't let you go back to.
The underworld. Underworld.
Yeah, it's the like the one that they don't let. Every other area I'm sick of. The one they don't let you go to, I'm not sick of. That's how it's my favorite. Because I had to farm everything.
Oh,
I came to resent every area because I'm just like waiting for the right monster and drop to pop. And it's like, oh.
As far as aesthetics go, I like the cave a lot, and I like that big hilly area that led up to the tower that taunted me for 2/3 of the game.
Yeah. Got they actually, yeah, you find out about this Northern Tower because it's literally like one of the first of Lent's tests that are listed, and then you're not allowed to actually go there until the story requires you to be there.
Once again. Fanning my annoyance with stuff that you can't do until halfway, like 2/3 of the game.
See, so I kind of love that, actually.
I have mixed feelings about it because I am a very checklist-oriented person, and when I can't check stuff off the list right away, I get anxious. Yeah,
I get it.
But yeah, that big hilly area just kind of showed off. Well, like even the Switch could create some pretty graphics, and I love huge areas like that. That it seems like you could run around in forever.
Yeah,
kind of like the Hyrule Field of this game.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the caves were really pretty. I mean, this whole game is just pretty.
Yeah, it's a very pretty game. Especially since it's not it doesn't seem like it's like that high budget of a game, which I guess shows how art design and stuff really goes a long way.
I appreciate that games just look like animes now. Like, looking at screenshots, you wouldn't know if it was a game or an anime.
Like, they even adapted this into an anime.
Yeah, I read that.
Was it any good? Nobody watched
it. Right. Yeah, it didn't seem anything special from what I've heard.
Yeah, it seemed like a bare bones anime to me.
Yeah, I think the game itself does a lot of work to really get you invested.
Matt, did you say a favorite area?
I like the Northern Tower. I love the architecture on the inside. I love the tree, how it blends through the tower. I like the verticality when you first get there. There's the arching bridge to get to the tower, but you can go deep down on all around it. What's funny, would you say the rolling hills before the tower, was mm-hmm. that like the battlegrounds or whatever?
Yeah.
And see, here we go. Chris is going to yell at me again because I can't conceive of that goddamn flute as a weapon. I also couldn't conceive of I'm walking around a battleground that's hundreds of years old, thousands of years old, and like the barriers are still there. There's still like a spear in the ground. I'm like, this looks like it was a battleground yesterday.
It looked interesting. That's all that matters.
It did look interesting. And I mean, I know you got to make it look like that because otherwise it's just going to be another hill.
Yeah.
It's like ancient battleground. And I'm like, wait, ancient battlegrounds are just hills at this point. Like Civil War, people go around with a metal detector to find one little freaking bullet in the ground. Yet here's weaponry just lying all around. Not that it was bad. It was just one of those. I needed to turn off my belief system for a second there. And I didn't. So, oops.
To me, the mark of a good area is also where there's so many nooks and crannies to explore and find goodies in.
That's what I like. I like the tower. I like the verticality. I like the spiral going up with all the little rooms off of it. It's been a fun spot.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, in general, like you said, the caves with the big glowing crystals, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Like, no, it's, yeah.
And then halfway through the game, the caves end up with like a whole other section.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool.
You reminded me, I like all these areas again.
Yeah, the whole, every area is very nicely designed.
Yeah.
Even you know, our first area, because you kept unlocking more places to go in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I like about this? It's not like, I don't know, I'm thinking about Dragon Quest terms, but a lot of JRPGs, it's like, well, you're in the snow area. Well, you're in the desert area. Oh, you're in the forest area. I haven't hit, run into a desert, and I haven't run into snow, but every area has felt very different and looked very different and visually distinct. Yeah. So without getting ridiculously tropey, they got some good variety.
Oh, and the abandoned village. It just made me remember that, because that one also had lots of stuff to look at and explore.
Yeah, that was a good one. I'm like, oh yeah, these areas are cool. The memories are starting to come back to me.
Well, that being said, do you have any special memories about this game, Ryan? What you were doing in your life?
Not really. Like, no, I was just doing like backlog bingo, picking a backlog bingo game, and then I was like, you know, this is also supposed to be an RPG backtrack game, so might as well just knock this one out now.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I played it.
Yeah, I'm like, still playing it.
I guess Chris is the one we need to ask, since he's had time between this and other things. Do you remember anything in your life special while you was playing this game?
You were talking a lot about it on RPG Cast.
Yes. Yeah.
Wasn't COVID going on?
It might have been.
By the time I got around to it?
Yeah. 2020. Were you playing it in 2020?
I was playing it in the build up to number 2 coming out, so I don't know.
Yeah, probably. I think we were still definitely in the COVID pandemic times. Okay, have they ever ended? I don't think so. COVID's still going on?
Technically,
it is, but nobody wants to believe it is, so.
Yeah,
if you have this discussion, you get into an argument and everyone's unhappy.
I basically can't do it with other people because I'm just not good at being confrontational like that. Somehow I've not gotten COVID myself, so I don't know. Weird.
Somehow I haven't gotten it either.
I've wondered if I'm just immune to it somehow. I don't know.
No. Well, probably not, but that's not what this podcast is
about. I'm just saying that as conjecture. I'm not that sure, Chris.
Anyway, yeah, so COVID was going on, so that's delightful.
I tried to start this because of you, Chris, and this was one of my false starts. During that time, it was one of my false starts. I think something else was. After I started it, I realized that something else. I want to say it was. No, not 13 Sentinels. That was already out. I feel like something else I knew was going to catch my attention, and I bailed on it pretty quick. And then I tried to start it another time and just wasn't feeling it. And then this time around. Once I got over that kind of slow start of the hump, as it were, then I couldn't put it down. So there we go. So I think everybody has, most of us played it recently, so.
I was going to say, yeah, I'm in the middle of playing it now. I think I started it 2 weeks ago, and for me, have sunk a lot of time in it. Like 25 hours in less than 2 weeks is a lot for me.
I can't wait to play the sequels. I hope I enjoy them more than you did, Chris.
I hope I can ever finish the second one so I could go play the third one.
At this point, I wonder if you ought to just skip it.
We need to keep Atelier April going next year.
Yes, do the Dust Trilogy.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Do the Dust Trilogy and Rise of Two.
Yeah, endless content. And speaking of endless content, you wait till you hear what we've got cooked up for May. Monster Menagerie May. You can thank my husband for that clever name.
Thank you, Vaughn.
So we've got Nexomon, both Extinction. See, I can't remember the order now. We've got Nexomon, the original, and Extinction. And yep, then Pokemon. Okay, we're doing Pokemon Legends.
Oh, we're doing Pokemon Arceus. First.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, interesting little spinoff of the Pokemon game that's getting a sequel in 2025. So I can't wait to talk about that one. And then Nexomon and Extinction.
Is it going to play the same way?
They haven't said anything, so I don't know how to feel. I'm hoping that it's going to play the same way, because Legends was so good.
It really was. But okay, got to stop burning material for 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to do Atelier April again, because this was a lot of fun, and I finally need an excuse to play the Dusk games.
Yeah, like I said, I definitely want to play the next two Ryza games.
Yeah. They're on my Switch. They're ready to go. I just need time and motivation.
Yeah. I need to buy them. Is the thing.
They're on sale now. At least on PSN store for 60 for the whole trilogy.
I'll look.
So I'll look. I waited for months for pretty much all three trilogies to go on sale, and when they did, it was like, okay, I guess I'm spending $120 to buy all three of these trilogies because that's the cheapest these are going to get.
Hey, but you got 9 games for that. So that's a lot.
Well, yeah, at $20 each, that's kind of a steal.
Yeah.
Especially on the Switch, where I can play them anywhere I want. Oh, the Mysterious trilogy is going to be interesting in a couple of years, given that I feel like nobody liked that one.
Was it too mysterious for people?
It must have been.
Which one?
The Mysterious trilogy.
Yeah. Sophie. I think Sam has opinions on that one.
Yeah. I've heard terrible things, and I only played a little bit of Sophie.
Terrible things.
So, posthumanimous thank you to Sam, who had to leave early because she was sleepy. Thank you, Chris. I didn't have to twist your arm too bad to get you on here.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Ryan. You're always welcome here.
Yep.
And of course, thank you to Matt, who I could not do the show without.
Ditto. You wrangle the cats. You do the prep. I just come on here, as Chris likes to point out, talk about a third of the time, and wrap it all up at the end.
To be fair, you've been really helping me with the jokes because I am terrible at dad jokes.
Well, you know, it's kind of built in at this point.
I'm good at skits, not so much at one-liners and puns. I think too hard about them.
And see, I try not to think, like all good dads.
Hey, no, you're a great dad.
Try not to put the thought into the jokes. I got to put thought into all the other stuff.
Right. And of course, thank you, listener, for hanging out with us. We will be back in a pair of weeks to talk about Pokemon Legends. Have a good one. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we shall see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.